Hello, and welcome to the episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Warrior Will.
Alright, so I need to go and scan here. Drone app, a fluff fruit there. You can't see apple now. It has to be for fluff fruit. And everything's okay. So just all these different triggers in Pokemon. New Pokemon Snap.
New!
It's like... Okay, I'm getting so much PTSD from the original Pokemon Snap now. It's like, okay, do we gotta trigger this? Do we gotta trigger that? In between? Like, there's just so much things, so much flags you can trigger in this game. It's like, it's driving me up the wall. It's crazy. Yeah.
So, as you can tell, Will and I have been playing new Pokemon Snap, and we both love it. And, in fact, we'll be talking about my review in a bit, but we will be focusing on this for a lot of this show today, because there's just so much to dive into. So let's get all started off with, what have you been playing? New Pokemon Snap. Did you not hear me? I made that obvious. I'm pretty sure I made that obvious, Will. So, but yes, new Pokemon Snap came out. We've both been playing. I've been playing it since Saturday, Will since Friday. Such a great game. There is so much to enjoy here, and I have my review up. I actually got it up done less than 2 weeks, mainly because this game is, you know, not the longest of Pokemon titles, which is fine. But I've played it for about 12 hours, give or take, and it's been mostly bliss the whole time. Gosh, where to start? Let's talk about the looks. Much like I predicted, this is like a chill game. I mean, yes, you're going to be frantically trying to take pictures of Pokemon and whatever, but when you're like, especially like the first opening hours, where you're just like, okay, I'm exploring the Pokemon world and all that, it's so relaxing. It's like, oh, look, there's that Pokemon. Oh, that Pokemon came out of nowhere.
Yeah, for real.
So much beauty in just the randomness of some certain things. Like, as I mentioned in my review, I was in the what was it called? The Jonhug jungle or something like that?
Yeah, the jungle area.
Yeah, the jungle area. And I was taking a picture. I turned around to take a picture of something. And when I turned back around, there's a Beautifly just staring at me.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I don't mean like, it's like, you know, in the distance looking at me. I mean, it's like right in front of my Neo 1.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hello there. And it's just watching me as I'm going by, and it's just like, it's not flying away, and I'm just like, dang it, I want to catch that Beautifly, it's right there. So, and then there's other times where a Pokemon will just like randomly show up or do an action. Like in the beginning level, you can get a Tangrowth to jump like 20
yes.
feet in the air, and I'm just like, whoa, didn't see that coming. And there's a Scorbunny that's incredibly playful. There was a Wailord that shoots out of an ocean area.
Oh, yeah, when it reaches the surface. Yeah, that was an amazing moment. That was an amazing moment.
I was like, where did that come from? And I won't tease what happened in the volcano area, because apparently Will hasn't gotten there yet.
Oh, excuse me for being a completionist about it. Gee.
Yeah. Well, you're missing a lot, because that volcano area is arguably one of the coolest areas of the game.
Gotcha. Okay.
And even the Illumina Pokemon
were
so beautiful. And we all knew about Meganium, but then the other ones that show up later was a very nice touch, Milotic.
So that's another one. Gotcha. Yeah, I heard about the Milotic side quest. So yeah, I have like seen like a couple of the quests that's been done in the other stages. But yeah, like all these different things, like, just going back a little bit from the beginning of what you said, yeah, we're going to add this thing is a very chill game. It is indeed. I mean, the music isn't something to write home about, but it's just like, it's just enough to really like get you in the mood from the jungle region to the tutorial area to the other locales like the beach and the volcano. Like every single time, like when I come back home from the hard days of work, I just like, okay, let's take some pictures. And it really does set you in the mood to like, just taking pictures. It's just such, it's like a fishing game in a sense, I guess. And yeah, just how like all these different random moments, like in that jungle, in the beach, like, I'm trying to take a picture of the slacking. Okay. Where's the Beautifly coming from? And then you like, you see everything, the Wooper, the Venusaur, the Quagsire, like all these things. Like, heck, I didn't even realize there was an Arbok in the background.
Yeah.
I was like, Yeah, all these different Pokemon, that's like, yeah, it is a lot to take. It's just like, it's throwing right at you. Like, here, there's that one. Oh, you gotta focus on here. No, focus on there. It's like, it demands your attention and everywhere to the point it's like, oh, I gotta trigger this thing. I gotta throw an apple a Fluffy at this Pokemon or scan it to trigger the bug Pokemon, like trigger that Heracross to fall from the tree or
Yeah.
rise that Pinsir or get that let's see. Yeah, Glaceon. Yeah, Glaceon
Oh, I haven't
already.
seen Glaceon.
Like just so much Pokemon. And of course, like the Queen Bee, the Combee, the Queen Bee. So like just so much things that like can trigger, especially with that Aluminafruit when you get at later on in each of their stages. It's just like so much like throwing at you and naturally you want to get the perfect shot. Like
Yeah.
oh, and it's just like, yeah, that's that grading system that okay, like in each category, the 1 to 4 star, and then how Professor Mirror it just like grades you. It's like I'm really confident in this Pokemon. Like, okay, good size. It should do well. Nope.
One
Professor
star.
Mercer said, like, no. Like, the score is down. Like, what? Come on. I was so proud.
I blasted that in my review, and I'll give you a great example, and this is a small spoiler. You're gonna meet a Houndoom later in the
Oh,
game,
okay.
and there's a sequence where you're actually going underground, but right as you go underground, the Houndoom runs up to you and starts barking menacingly. And so naturally, I took a picture of it right when it's barking. And I'm like, that's a perfect shot. I get one star. I take that same shot and I actually have a worse shot. It's a little more cut off and I get 3 stars. I'm like, how? How is this better than the last one? It makes no sense. And then I've had multiple times, Will, where I've gotten like an out of focus, obscured shot of Pokemon and I've gotten a 3-star or a 4-star ranking. How? This is not how it's supposed to go.
And like yeah, because I figured out that like again with each of the different star categories, like one is basically the basic pose, and then like the up to 3 and 4 stars is basically the action poses. Like for example, the Quagsire jumping,
Yeah.
or like yeah, or like the Wailord just like breaching the surface. Like it's definitely on the action pose, and certainly a certain quests because like if you get the Flounder Pokemon zapping that artillery in the beach, yeah, that thing is an action shot, apparently 4 stars. So it's definitely an interesting grading system to say the least. So like I get it, they're trying to like categorize it into like certain like is it a basic pose, an eating pose, an action pose, or a special event pose. But I mean I get that point, but it's just like I just can't help but wonder what it was when Nintendo was creating that grading system for Professor Mirror. Like, okay, I get it. You want to try to get capture the entire Pokemon, get the entire body shape, just
Yeah.
not just like the entirely close up zoom shot that you see in the other like in re real life nature photography. Like, oh, you don't want to be real close, not right in front of the camera, like the like that Beautifly. You wanted to get the entire body staring right in your face, like full frontal, no side view, but actually like straight on dead center. Frontal view is like, geez, talk about demanding much on your photographs, but fine. So yeah, it's definitely it has like a set standard, which definitely is a bit baffling for like when choosing your pictures. Yes.
Yeah, and for the record, I've actually taken photography classes, so when I see like I had like a Murkrow in the first level in the Ice Age, and I threw an apple at it, and then because of the way that my Neo-1 maneuvered, it was obscured by grass as it was eating. But I took the picture out of instinct, and I got like a 3-star on that thing. I'm like, how? You can't even see the bloody Murkrow!
It's definitely like, oh, okay. Yeah, this one's not gonna do it, but it's still a 3-star category picture. What? It's
Yeah.
like, yeah, like when they eating that one's a rare one.
But that aside, I'm very amazed by the development team and how they just were able to breathe life into this. Like, I remember the original Pokemon Snap, and it had some cool moments where you could get like Pokemon to fight each other, or like a Lapras would emerge from the water if you hit the right rock or whatever. And but this just feels like so much more. I mean, you have Pokemon flying around all over the place. You can have a Pidgeot killing a Magikarp. And in a later level, you see a certain dog Pokemon basically run roughshod over the area and scaring every other Pokemon out of sight. And oh, and my personal favorite, in the jungle at night, there's an Ariados in a web, and it's sleeping while there's a couple of Bonsweets trying to get out of the web.
I know about that. Yeah, right in the
Yeah.
beginning, and then you actually can keep actually wake that Ariados, and that Ariados will just rid those bond sweep
Oh,
off of
really?
it. Yeah, you
I
can
did
actually can
not,
trip.
I have not done that yet,
Yeah,
so.
like that's a great post. It's just yeah, it's like a tip is that some Pokemon will only be awakened or activated if you throw enough Fluffroot to trigger them. So like for
Yeah.
example that Blastoise in the beach
Yeah.
part, yeah, you have to throw constant apples and just lure them if you want to get a good shot. So
And
yeah,
not apples, what fruit? Fluffroot.
Fluffroot. Oh yeah, there is no apples in the Pokemon world.
No, it's not in any new Pokemon Snap. New Pokemon Snap. So, but yeah, like there's just so much life in here, and that's something actually I do appreciate about the request, despite the fact that they're hard to do at times, is that they do give you those extra interactions, or they give you something to look for. Like there's one where you see a bunch of scorched apples, and you're like, what's there? And so I'm like, okay, well, what? I'll see what happens when I throw an apple at it. And once I do, an Imolga just appears out of nowhere and shocks the apple until it's scorched, until it's eaten. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. So, and then there's another one at night where a couple of the Swanna just are already illuminated, and they lead a flock around. And I was able to get some really great 4-star shots of that, but I'm like, I wouldn't have expected to see that. Like, Swanna on the water, sure. Swanna leading some ducklets away, sure. That's fine. But having them like actual flock of Swanna flying through the air, that's just cool. And Dodrio like bounding everywhere, and that's just like one of the areas. And I remember we were talking about like, is 200 Pokemon enough? The answer is always going to be no, because there's always going to be a Pokemon. And I know some Pokemon that I feel should be in this game, but isn't. But even with that, they find ways to put like Pokemon in spots you don't expect. And it's just so much fun to like half the joy is going to these areas, both when you, especially when you get the research levels up and go, oh, what Pokemon am I going to see now?
Like even though like there are some stages like at the max going to level 3 and that's like the max level or
Yeah.
yeah to the point, you still see have these different interactions, especially if you want to go back to like the level 1 level 2s with your new items to like interact with the Pokemon, and just like all these different interactions, all these different Pokemon, it's just like it's so crazy. Like even with off-world, like the divergent paths, like yeah, different paths, you see different Pokemon at a different perspective to get that good shot. It's just like yeah, that's the thing. It just really gets you that's a gameplay loop. Just like okay, I gotta go this part, gotta go that part, especially when you want to try to get that request shots or trigger certain Pokemon like that. Like the one of the early missions with that fruit with slacking, which yeah, I would never would have figured out until like I seen a video. Like, okay, I'm trying to get that oh shoot, not Glaceon. I know there's so much EVs, I forget now. Sylveon, Glaceon, something of that sort.
Leafeon.
Leafeon. Thank you. Like apparently like, you're not supposed to hit that Leafeon. You're supposed to like go to that other path, but do not hit Leafeon. That's apparently where how you get that slacking to come out. So it's just so much like events, like the flags. Again, it definitely takes cues from the original game of like what Pokemon cues to either knock that Squirtle or like trigger that Illumina fruit, whatever the scans. It's like all these things, it does pay great tribute to the original game. Of course, like also introducing Todd again, which again, that's a great cameo. That was a great cameo. So
That was
just
no, not a cameo. The D.
D cameo. Oh, who shares the name of the protagonist? But let's see. And yeah, just I mean, and I think from what of the consensus of the reviews out there right now, it's like that's the only thing that's also like its greatest feature as well as probably its greatest flaw, but it's not really enough to go and take away from it. It's obviously the repetitive nature. I mean granted, like if you're like me who's trying to figure out that's one request, like how do you trigger this request, like it does take that like kind of tired like grind you a little bit because like how do I trigger this, it's just driving me nuts. There is no online guide when this game came out, so I have no idea how to trigger this request. So I was like grinding for like three like almost 2 hours, like how the heck do I trigger this request, and like oh okay. So obviously this game is meant to like play it on like definitely a good burst, don't want to go too overwhelmed it, but if you have that time or like want to just really want to chill out, like yeah, this game is definitely the game to really work well in that, like, the burst part. It's almost in the same style as like Age of Calamity in a sense. So just like play in spurts, and then you'll be fine with it. So yes,
there are some paths though, I swear, are just so contrived.
Oh,
like in the jungle, there's one where you have to throw illuminant orbs at two different life parts.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
One of which is on a very high rock that you'll never naturally see unless you're actually looking for it, and I still almost missed it. Mm-hmm. And then you have to hit a second one just so you can get knocked off of a branch into the river.
Yes.
Like, how am I supposed to know that naturally? You know, like, looking for the scan function with that branching pathing, that's great. And even one where I had to find, like, footprints on the ground to follow the path, that's fine. But when I have to look for a bloody light part in a spot that I would never look for it in, and then hit another light part that's completely not connected with it just because it just happens to be on a tree branch, that's supposed to knock me into another path? Are you kidding me?
Right. That thing was crazy. And also, actually, surprisingly as well, yesterday, I had that kind of same idea, had that same moment. Like, during that Wailord scene when it reaches the path, you gotta go left or right. You actually can go to the Wailord's head instead of its tail. So it's just like, it's definitely like, how am I supposed to know about that? Like, I was always a set path, but oh no, there's actually a diverge path. Not that doesn't appear on the scans. Like, okay. Like, again, you want us to leave us to discover these things, Pokemon Company, but isn't that a little bit like less of the detail? Like, we would never would have figured out, like, unless it's like pure accident. It's like, yeah, pure accident that led us to discover these things.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, this is still a very incredible game, and I gave it a 4.5 in my review, and we're still going to keep talking about it, but there are some flaws, and again, the requests, like, I like the requests because they show you different behavior, but some of them are just so contrived in what I actually have to do. Like, there's one where you have to take a picture of an executor sleeping.
Oh, that one. I did that. That one's a pain in the butt. That one's a pain in the butt.
I found all three executor who were sleeping. I took pictures of all three of them, showed a different one, and still my request was not complete. What did I do wrong?
It's definitely like which shot satisfied the criteria.
Wow. So.
And just also we talked about it because also with the online feature as well, with the social feature of like, all these filters, the additions, like also that retake of snapping of adjusting your shot to the perfect spot and then share it to the internet. Like, that's also a nice little social feature. Like, just putting different things, adding a little effects. Like, I've seen some, like, definitely different trending pictures out there, like with Pichu in the flower garden, or like other different Pokemon with like different filters, different frames. Like, I gotta say, there's so much creativity from the community, like how they can make these creative pictures, whether it be like the natural shot or customizable shots with the add-ons. It's the amount of creativity the community has is really crazy. It's crazy.
Oh no, that's been part of the fun for me, was posting what I feel like really good shots, and I did get some good ones, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I got one where you can actually knock a certain Pokemon into the ground and it's like stuck there.
So
I took a picture of that and then added like a special background just to emphasize it all. And there was another one where let's see, what was it? Oh, I took a picture of a Sharpedo like roaring at my camera. And so,
that one's a popular one.
I put the caption, "I'm a shark," to reference Gail Simone, because that's like her trademark. And then I took one of a Vespiquen, dancing with some Combee, and I put "Dancing Queen."
I think I saw that one.
Oh, speaking of online features, one of the most interesting online features, in my opinion, is that you can see how you rank in points. Compared to all the other players in the game. And despite Will having the game longer than I, not only was I the first to 1,000,000 Photodex points, I currently am ahead of Will in points total.
Well, obviously, that, like, because since you filled out your Photodex, I'm the one who's still trying to do these bloody requests. Excuse me for taking my time.
I'm not denying that you're taking your time. It's just that I'm getting more points than you. You're welcome. So, yeah. I win. And if Tyler was here, I can honestly say that I would beat Tyler. Isn't that right, Tyler? That's right, Tyler. I don't know if he has Pokemon Snap, honestly.
Yeah, why would he say Pokemon Snap? Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah.
Boy, but yeah, it's just like so in conclusion, yeah, Pokemon Snap so far is just like if you want to like get that nostalgia, I mean it is pretty much is indeed what it is. It is definitely the sequel to the original Pokemon Snap 64. So if you want something that's expanded, much more beautiful, just overall that if you want to get that same nostalgic feeling when you play that 64 game, or if you haven't played a 64, you want to see what the hype was about, then how is just getting a new Pokemon Snap? Is like it's definitely that casual game that definitely scratches the itch in the same realm of I guess you could probably say an Animal Crossing, but this thing is like much more doable. So like the photo is like you can easily play this thing like in good 10-minute bursts. Like it's a very quick game if anything else is all. So if you want to go be completionist like myself, then yeah, you're gonna get a lot more value out of it. But if you want just something that's like really enjoyable, then definitely highly recommend this game. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's still like a whole bunch of things we've barely even talked on. Like, there's an actual story.
Oh
Like, I wasn't
Mm-hmm.
expecting that. And having, of course, the Todd, not myself, no relation, but the Todd showing up to help out was a great idea. The cutscenes that they did were beautiful.
Yes, yes, yes,
I
yes.
loved how those were rendered. And again, the boss fights with the or the boss fights, for lack of a better term, with the Illumina Pokemon, that was clever. You actually get to take pictures of the research area, like of Mir's lab. Like, what?
Yeah, like also a good thing to note about the cutscenes because like that's the one thing I'm kind of wishing that Pokemon that Nintendo and Pokemon Company does. Like, yeah, we always have these like see cuts like cutscenes. Like, okay, they speak a little bit, but when there's like a demonstration, they're fully voiced. Like, come on, I know like we're trying to save on budget, but can you not have the cutscenes be fully voiced like Fire Emblem? Come on, yeah, like because I feel like it would bring so much more life if it was like fully voiced it, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, there was some. Okay, also, I gotta call this out. They pulled a bit of a Jump Force in how they rendered like the non-talked cutscenes.
Oh, okay.
Because like you'll have one of the characters talking to you, and then they'll go like, "Hey, Professor, what do you think about this?" And they'll just like rush in, and that's totally Jump Force. Like they no animations, no walking sequence, just zip. Hey, I'm here. Like, really? You couldn't like, I mean, it's a one sequence of walking. You just repeat it over and over again. It's not that hard. So,
Yeah, probably saved my budget or they couldn't afford
it's like, come on, like give me something, give me something. So, but still, aside from that, you know, this is still a really fun game. We highly recommend it. Apparently, the game's already doing really well. It was already at the top of the charts in the UK, and I'm pretty sure it's going to do really well here in the US. And actually, if you have the patience, you can go through the rankings and see how many people are actually there. I decided not to do that because I value my time, but I mean, we can already guarantee there's already hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people playing this. So, yeah.
Yep, everyone trying to get that perfect shot, get that like, oh, perfect pose, perfect orientations. Like, yeah, there'll be legit photographers that are so crazy about this game that like, yeah, I know there's like videos on YouTube like saying, what does a professional photographer think about Pokemon Snap? And like that thing I'll be curious about. But yeah, there'll be some players out there that really will go above and beyond to like get high up in the rankings there. Yeah.
Yeah, so again, go check it out. My review is up on the site. We hope you enjoy it. And we'll definitely be talking about this more next week as we talk more about our favorite shots, the favorite Pokemon. Hopefully, Will will actually have gotten to all the areas like I have.
Well, excuse me for trying to beat make my time. Thank you very
Again, it's
much.
not about time, but you could take time to, you know, get to all the areas, and then you'll have all the requests, and you'll know that you'll have all these other areas to go to, because I can't talk about one of my favorite areas because you're not there, Will!
Well, here's the thing, because we're going to know that request system, like it only will open once you have that certain area, like level or area open. But like that's the thing, like I want to. That's the one thing I think I find how to solve the quest easier because like if you only have like one area done and then just like the moment it unlocks for you like oh this is the part where it triggers then so yeah it easy trigger that I just do that area then and there and like some requests are easier than others sure but it's like That one fruit quest in the beginning in the jungle area that's at nighttime. I didn't know how to trigger that slacking, but oh, I like lo and behold, like okay, that's how it is. So excuse me, that I'm trying to figure out like the ins and outs and try to get the good shots because like you didn't know you actually can knock off that Aria Dos to trigger off that spider webs cutscene as well as that triple threat request. You get three Aria Dos taken out that or Yamega, yeah. So there's a lot of things to discover here. So like instead you want to finish it, fine. But I'm gonna try to get the ins and outs if there's any secrets in between. So excuse me, good sir host.
And now you know, ladies and gentlemen, why Todd is a superior name because it's in Pokemon Snap, while Will just isn't. So, ha. And he's lucky that he's not in Pokemon Snap because then I would go Goodwill Hunting. Ah! All right, so heading now to the news.
And I think
What?
actually, sorry, but we gotta talk about this because, like, obviously, we also have been keeping up with Fire Emblem Heroes, and should we discuss this new banner they also introduced it that I think is coming out on the top
Dunno.
of this recording?
Yeah. So yeah, there is a brand new Fire Emblem Heroes banner that me and Will are eagerly awaiting, mainly because for two reasons. One, first off, we have a lot of orbs. All right, I've got over 500. Will's got over 700, and the new banner is another one of them dark, twisted versions. We got the dark versions of Edelgard and Dimitri, and then corrupted versions of the twins Morgan from Fire Emblem Awakening. So yeah, that's a thing.
It's just crazy on the stat, especially with Edelgard. Yamega Edelgard. It's just like, yeah, that those stat increases, it's just crazy. I mean, you thought like vengeful Dimitri was bad. Yeah, Edelgard is just a monster, literally a monster.
So that's one reason why we're excited for it. The other reason is that, much like we predicted, Tyler is coming out of retirement. We didn't even have to wait for the gatekeeper. He's coming back for Dimitri. He's even said it. We'll take a screenshot if someone doesn't believe us. But Tyler said he's coming back for Dimitri and Dimitri alone, which means he is unretiring. As we predicted, we win.
Look who's come crawling back.
All it took was someone going to the dark side. Who knew?
I wonder why. Like you say, oh, Dimitri is the only one that's gonna give me bring me back to this game. Okay, show fallen Dimitri. I'm coming home.
Oh, Tyler. So much for being a man of your word. Now, if you only will admit that, love beat money, then we'd be all set. But we'll take it one step at a time.
Yeah, come on, Splatoon team. Like, once you make Splatoon 3, please bring back that topic back. Yes.
Yeah. We need to settle the score once and for all. So,
Yes.
yes. All right, and now we are going to the news because there actually has been a lot of interesting things to discuss. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first up, we have the quarterly sales for Nintendo Switch. It is the end of the fiscal year 2020, the last thing we shall hopefully have to say about 2020. And Nintendo, not surprisingly, did very well. Shock. So, overall, the Nintendo Switch has sold basically 85 million units as of March 31st, 2021. And they were at 84.59. But considering we have to factor in all of April and now the beginning of May, let's just round that up and say 85 million. Okay, they're pretty much there, if not there already. Second of all, in terms of sales figures for certain games, they had a couple million sellers jump up into the list, including Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury selling over 5 million units by the end of March. And remember, that's a port of a Wii U game plus some extra content. So that says a lot right there.
Yes.
And then Mario Kart Live Circuit, which was the what do you want to call it? The RC VR AR title, that has sold over 1 million as well. So, I thought that was impressive, and I was really more amazed by Mario Bowser's Fury because, you know, million, yeah, sure, 2 million, why not? 3 million, okay, that's what All Stars did. This sold more than all of them in like their first month or so, because like All Stars, 3D All Stars is now at 9 million, which is very impressive. Mario Brothers U Deluxe is at 10.44, so you know, if Bowser's Fury, you know, keeps going like it is, it's gonna be up there pretty quickly. So, yeah. And then some other big numbers. Pikmin Deluxe has crossed 2 million.
Ow, wow.
I don't know. Clubhouse Games 51 Worldwide Classics is over 3 million. Ring Fit Adventure over 10 million.
Good on
Yeah.
you, people. You're doing your exercise. Good on you.
See, Super Mario Party's almost at 15 million. Odyssey is over 20, Sword and Shield's over 21, Animal Crossing is at 32.63, and still number one, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at 35 million, 35.39. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see that Nintendo is still going strong, even with this pandemic happening. It's just like, okay, you got some cards now. We just gotta wait until like the June months now, like with this new titles that's been announced just out of nowhere. So who knows? And of course, like with the upcoming Mario Super Mario Golf Tour coming to Switch, is like that's one thing I'm actually curious about. So I wonder how it's gonna continue on from there.
yeah, and as a slighter, smaller note, when they were detailing, Nintendo was detailing the event, they noted that 36 million seller titles were done in the fiscal year alone. And that includes first and third party titles. So that in 1 year, they have 36 million seller titles. That's very impressive. And then overall software sales was over 230 million. Like, wow. So yeah, very, very big quarter for Nintendo. And as if that wasn't enough, the Switch has now officially outsold the Game Boy Advance in global sales. We noted last week that it had beaten it in Japan, but now it's beaten it worldwide. The GBA sold 81 million during its time, and now the Switch is of course at 85. So moving on up. Moving
Oh
on
yeah,
up.
yep. And is that's it? That's really like kind of continues and sets the stage for this year's E3. I mean, again, like Nintendo's gonna be this year, this year's E3. So I wonder what gonna be really setting for the second half of the year. That thing I'm looking forward to. Yes.
And on that note, let's go right into the E3 news because there were some new additions to the E3 roster that we know of right now, outside of Nintendo and Xbox. We now have Bandai Namco, Sega, Square Enix, and Xseed alongside Binge.com, DVSI Entertainment, Freedom Games, Gearbox Entertainment, Turtle Beach, and Verizon. Don't know why Verizon's there, but okay, let's just roll with it. So, and then of course, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two, and Warner Brothers Games, along with Koch Media, is also going to be there. Konami's backed out. Sorry, Konami backed out, apparently.
Yeah, what they're doing, I don't know really.
I told you they're working. I told you last week they're working on Metal Gear Survive 2.
No, we do not talk about that. We do not talk about that.
Okay, fine. So yeah, but E3 is shaping up to be at least potentially as big as it was in the past, if not obviously not fully in person. But that is still good news that more and more companies are coming. And again, the rumors are that Nintendo's going to have something rather big when it arrives. So we shall see.
All right. Like, what else is cooking up in Nintendo that I really look forward to? Yes.
All right, next up, we have a what do you want to call it? Revenge of the Sixth announcement. Yes, recently was May the 4th be with you. And in honor of that, the NPD released the top-selling Star Wars games in the United States in history. And here's the top 10. Number 1, Star Wars Battlefront from 2015. Number 2, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Number 3, Star Wars Battlefront 2, 2017. Number 4, Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga. Number 5, Star Wars The Force Unleashed. Star Wars, I'm sorry, number 6, Star Wars Battlefront 2 from 2005. Number 7, Star Wars 2, the original trilogy. Number 8, Lego Star Wars. Number 9, the original Star Wars Battlefront from 2004. And number 10, Shadows of the Empire. Yeah, that's a very unique list for various reasons. Would you like to guess why, Will?
I mean, I'm not. I mean, I've seen the movies, but I'm not actually a that heavy Star Wars fan. But please do go on and enlighten me, good host.
Okay, first off, they have three Lego titles in the top 10. Three. The original, the original, the sequel, and then the complete saga. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. Number two, we have both sets of Battlefront console Battlefront titles, at least, in the game. That's very interesting as well. Forced Unleashed is very surprising because that was a divisive game. You know, that was a heavily hyped game and also divisive. Notice that its sequel didn't make the top 10. Also, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire was from 1997. So that shows how popular that game was when it came out. And then for all of you RPG fans out there, Star Wars KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, it's not on this list. I know! And that was a game that was said to help revitalize the Star Wars genre in certain ways, and yet
Yes,
it
that was
didn't make the
revered.
top 10 in the US.
Wow.
So, but clearly, no matter what the sales numbers, we can strongly say that the force is strong with these ones.
Dang it. I know we have been so punny and all this, but like just like again, we're in that day. Okay, yeah, May the 4th, Revenge of the 5th, and yeah, this
It's Return of the
so
Sixth. It's like, well, if you didn't expect me to make a pun there, I would find your lack of faith disturbing.
because we just recently got to have a release of Resident Evil 8. Let's just say I'm not liking this.
Wait a minute, what do you mean you're not liking it? Like the game's not good?
No, it's a pun. There's actually a trophy. I'm not liking this. Get it? Liking werewolves.
Well, I know that there's vampires in this game, but that sucked. See, that's how you do it. Nice try.
Bleh.
Blech. All right, next up, we have a game that I am looking forward to very, very much, is Neo, The World Ends With You. So, there was a big interview with the producer of the game, Tomohiko Hirano, and he answered certain questions about the game that honestly make a lot of sense, but also make me hate a certain franchise now. So check this out. He was asked about why there was basically a 15-year delay between titles. The original came out in 2017 for the DS, and it came out 2007 in Japan, 2008 for the US, and then 2021 for the sequel. Why did that happen? He said, quote, "With the original version of the game, for the very beginning, we've had a lot of fans have been asking for a sequel to come along. But with the content of the game, it's a little out there. It's a little different from your usual game, and with that, we need to secure an environment where we can really focus on the development of the game. Up until now, we weren't able to secure that kind of environment, but now we've been able to do so. We've been able to proceed." End quote. And then he also noted that they were busy with Kingdom Hearts. And we all know how long Kingdom Hearts 3 took to come out.
Over 2 decades.
Yeah, so we can flip. Oh.
Well, a decade, right? Okay,
Yeah,
sorry,
I was
a
gonna say
decade.
Kingdom Hearts 2 was like 2005. So anyway, but still like 15 years. And so, you know, we can now blame Kingdom Hearts for the reason we didn't get Neo: The World's End With You sooner, because they were so busy trying to put that game through and to satisfy everything Nomura that they couldn't go and make the sequel that we were begging for. And I like Kingdom Hearts. You know, until it got really crazy with 3, but you know, what are you gonna do? So, but like, yeah, there's your reason. There's your reason, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it took so long to get this dang sequel.
I mean, as we know now with Kingdom Hearts 3 as well, the DLC remind, like, I mean, again, Square Enix wants to invest in something that's what make the money, and because again, the Kingdom Hearts fandom is a money maker,
It's true.
sadly. So yeah, with Neo World Ends With You, I mean, sorry, Todd, it ain't a heavy money maker. It's a very great classic underground title, but yeah, it's not the money maker. Hopefully, this will be for Square Enix. Here's hoping.
Well, hopefully, when Neo: The World Ends With You sells millions of copies, we won't have to wait another 20 years for the third game. And that's actually very telling because also in that interview, Hirano talked about his hopes for the franchise, saying, quote, "Yes, this is what we're aspiring for. in terms of being a franchise. But of course, as mentioned earlier, there was that big gap since the first title came out. So with the new title that's coming out and also the anniversary version of the game going live, we're hoping we'll see more demand from players, which will serve as an opportunity for us to expand more on the franchise, end quote. And of course, there's the anime of The World Ends With You that's on right now via Funimation. So between that and the new game, we might just be able to get a more expansive franchise like we're getting with Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts. Hopefully. We shall see, I suppose. But again, that game comes out on July 27th, so definitely be on the lookout for that. Yeah. All right, next up we have... Oh, this is from another animation project, ironically enough. Nintendo has said that they are very much in the in the zone of sorts where they are not above looking for different projects to do animation with. Because we are getting the Super Mario movie from Illumination, the team behind the Minions movies. That's going to be coming next year, and it's heavily in conjunction with Shigeru Miyamoto. And in an interview, Nintendo president Shintaro Furukawa, who is, of course, Tyler's favorite person ever, said, quote, animation in general is something that we're looking into and not just this franchise, which is good. Because if you recall, there was a time when Nintendo actually had a lot of their properties in cartoon form.
Yes.
There was, of course, the original Super Mario cartoon. There was a Donkey Kong Country cartoon that nobody likes to talk about. There was Kirby Right Back At Ya.
Yes.
There was F-Zero Grand Prix.
Yes.
Missing one? I don't think I'm
missing. I mean, we also had the movies back in the early 90s.
We don't talk about the movies.
The F-Zero, got that. I mean,
and then, of course, basically every Smash Brothers trailer since Brawl.
And then we also had that special Star Fox short that we had that was made from one of the Ghost in the Shell studios.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Nintendo's got, and we're going to be talking about this a little bit later, but Nintendo has had this opportunity to branch out and show how their IPs work. And some of those actually looked very favorably, including the F-Zero anime, which greatly expanded the franchise.
Yes.
And Kirby Right Back At You, which is heavily beloved. So, I know they're going to wait to see how Mario does, especially with Illumination, but hopefully this will lead to more things, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later.
I mean, just because that kind of gives me that question, because, they've obviously seen the success of the Pokemon movie. I mean, yes, they're not Nintendo, but, again, the Pokemon coming is part of Nintendo. So, they've obviously seen, how, the Pokemon movie is actually kind of start to break that mold of bad video game movies. So... now, how video game movies is starting to kind of develop. I mean, of course, there's also those cameo movies like Ready Player One and the upcoming. I guess, would you consider Space Jam? No,
that's Warner Brothers, and yeah, I don't want to talk about Space Jam 2.
Yeah, but it's starting to have that positive image reputation started gaining back again. So, if Nintendo should ever really want to invest in it, I mean, yes, they got to see how Mario does, but. It's kind of hard not to go and mess with Mario because, again, with Wreck-It Ralph, they kind of did so, in a sense. I mean, they didn't have Mario, but they had the gaming icons out there. And they heck, even had Sonic, and the Sonic movie did pretty decent. So, I don't know. Perhaps it's times that Nintendo maybe can finally get on the train and actually do maybe, how to phrase it, basically, really improve their points, really give that polish that they're pretty neat. I don't know.
We'll see. All right, next up we have... Okay, this is a bit of an odd one. All right, so apparently... Okay, we all know that one of the most anticipated Switch games still to come is Breath of the Wild 2. And we all wanted it to come out last year. It didn't happen. And then we were supposed to get a tease of it. It did not happen. We got Skyward Sword HD instead. And we're wondering where the bloody heck is this game. Well, apparently, we weren't the only ones thinking that. Because, of all things, an internal document from Xbox said that they apparently felt that Nintendo was going to release Breath of the Wild 2 and certain other titles last year, including Bayonetta 3, Metroid Prime 4, and Shin Megami Tensei 5. And they were saying that they were believing that as of last August that they were going to launch before the end of 2020. Not a single one did.
Interesting prediction there, Microsoft.
Yeah. Now, I can understand some of them, like, Breath of the Wild and maybe Bayonetta 3, because that thing's been teased forever. And Shin Megami Tensei, we talked about how that's been, that was announced on day one with the Switch, and yet we're only getting it now in 2021, which is fine. But I don't know why they thought Metroid Prime 4 was going to be out in 2020, because that game got scrapped to the roots and is being rebuilt. I just don't know why they're making these predictions. I mean, are they that desperate to know what they're going to be up against? Because, Nintendo actually has games on their new system.
I'm just wondering what is indeed their mindset in the Microsoft headquarters. Like, I with how the game industry is with different combinations from Sony, Microsoft, and everyone else in between. Like, obviously, you want to know, oh, are they going to release this game for her? Then we can probably plan it out right now. Like, okay, like, let's just assume that Breath of the Wild 2 is coming out next year, like in 2020. Okay, we get our good IPs get ready to the point. Like, yeah, Halo Infinite and all that. But again, we already saw how Halo Infinite was presented. So, like, now they said, like, okay, so Breath of the Wild 2 isn't coming in 2020. So, yeah, unfortunately, that's kind of like how the industry is. I know I'm pretty sure probably Sony is doing the same thing themselves, but at least they having some reasonable predictions, while Microsoft's like, you really expected Breath of the Wild 2 to come out in 2020? And of course, with the recent news of Metroid Prime 4 being rescrapped and had to redevelop once again, is just like, yeah, don't expect it anytime soon. Like, perhaps if they're not going to be showing anything this year, then likely next year. Here's hoping. I mean, again, that's a hope, because now with obviously with those big game titles, like, obviously everyone here wants to go and want to know what happens in Breath of the Wild 2, and of course, naturally, Bayonetta 3, and if we're lucky, maybe another teaser for Metro Prime 4 this year, but likely next year, if anything else. But yeah, to really think of like how other companies like Microsoft like says, okay, we're gonna have to hope, we're betting this game's gonna come out in 2020. Nice call there, Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, getting you had one job. You had one job. You needed to go, and I don't even know anymore. Like, what? what were you hoping to do here? Like, what did you expect here by predicting these things? Like, oh, if we get this done by this time, then we won't have to worry about it and whatever. I don't know.
It's almost like it's like a sense in a war strategy. Like, okay, our enemies are like, okay, Nintendo is going to be moving their guns in 2020. So we're going to expect that game to come out in 2020. So let's get ready, get our IPs ready, and let's get and ready to go meet them head on to face them in the greatest month of the winter or hot whatever month 2020 comes. Okay, where's Nintendo? Where are they? Where's the army? Like, is that kind of like that mentality? It's just like, yeah, I get it. You're trying to like read that 4D dimensional chess of like reading your opponents and reading your rival companies there. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, you kind of have egg on your face there, Microsoft.
Oh, well, such is life. All right, so moving on, we have, oh yeah, this one's definitely for me. The Pokemon Company has announced that the next English dub of the Pokemon anime is going to be called Pokemon Master Journeys. Yeah.
Okay.
Because you couldn't just call it like something regular, but it's Pokemon Master Journeys, which is kind of a callback to Pokemon Master Quest from the Johto area, but whatever. Yes, it is coming this summer, and we got a synopsis for it, which honestly doesn't tell us too much, but I'm just happy that it's been announced. It has not been confirmed for Netflix, however. It is just said that it is coming sometime this summer in select regions. So yeah. In the synopsis goes, quote, "It's a big, big world, but you know where to find Ash and go, battling and catching Pokemon from Kanto to Galar. With Pikachu, Cinderace, and their other Pokemon beside them, our heroes continue to travel all over the world to research Pokemon for Cerise Laboratory. Along the way, Ash climbs higher in the World Coronation Series rankings, and Go adds more Pokemon to his Pokedex in his quest to catch Mew. Meanwhile, Chloe takes her first steps as a Pokemon trainer when she meets a mysterious Eevee. New friends, returning rivals, and exciting adventures await as the journey continues." So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited because I have been enjoying Pokemon Journeys. But I am curious to see how this is going to go, because this next batch of episodes, we're going to see some very key things, including the catching of Suicune by Go, which I am not happy about at all. All right, Ash has met Suicune twice, and he's never got to catch it. Second of all, we're going to be seeing some returning rivals, including, as already noted in Japan, Iris from Unova and Garyoke.
Oh, he's back? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Also, and on the Iris front, we found out what happened after Ash left her. In Unova, she apparently became a boss and has taken over the Unova region as its champion. Yeah, I know. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm all for it. And technically, she was the champion in Black and White 2, I believe. So, I mean, I'm fine with that. But yeah, I'm very I'm very curious to see how this is gonna play out, 'cause Ash and Iris are confirmed to be battling. It's gonna be Dragonite versus Dragonite.
Oh.
Yeah, and we're gonna see who's the top cat here. So, yeah.
All right.
So, we shall see. All right, and yep, that's it. That's all the news. So now we're going to head to our main event, which is thus. As noted, Nintendo is looking at potential other projects for their properties. And we've already talked about this at length at times with the movies we'd want to say animated, and even like Smash Brothers anime. But what I want to talk about, truly long form series. I want to know, if Nintendo was to try and pull another Kirby right back at you, or the F-Zero or something else, what franchise do we feel could truly go and be a long form series and have the lore and ability to do so? So, Will, let's go be TV makers. Right, I'll go first because I have a rather fun idea, and it's not necessarily a long form TV series, as it is kind of like a and it's gonna sound like a weird reference, but an American Horror Story. And by that, I mean an anthology series, because if you've watched American Horror Story, even if you haven't, just know about it, they don't do the typical seasonal format where, one season leads into the other. Every season is its own unique horror story. So I feel that they have a franchise right now that could totally encapsulate that, and that's Fire Emblem. What they could do is they could dedicate a whole season to each story, every single game, and each one is its own telling of the story. Now, obviously, they'll be elongating it. They'll be actually be showing the battles that the various characters would go and be a part in, and they'll have to shorten some things, obviously. But as a whole, they'll be able to, really flesh out the story, put some really great animation into it, and just have a lot of fun. And then the seasons will vary in size depending on the game. So, like, the earlier ones might take a little less, the later ones take a little more. But even if they do, like, say, like a 40 episode season covering one game, then they end that story and they move to the next game. And then by the time that they get up to, say, Three Houses, which would be a very interesting thing to see animated, because they'd have to do like branching storylines, obviously. Same with Fire Emblem Fates. But I think that would be a really interesting challenge, because you're trying to show the battles in real time. Got to animate how the characters interact with each other. You got to show certain key moments that have never been viewed outside of sprites, like the death of Sigurd, which we often talk about here on NEP, because we want to see that in much more beautiful than a sprite animation. All right, give him a glorious blaze of glory death. All right, so, and then we've already seen cutscenes in the games, starting with Path of Radiance. So let's see that expanded. Let's see that grow and be greater and be longer, really delve into these relationships that we honestly only got to see if you got to do the support conversations. And let's be honest, not all of us did the conversations with some of these characters. All right, yeah, I'll give you an example. In Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, I didn't give a dang about Soth. All right, he was just this little punk thief that was on my ship, and he was so underleveled by that point in time, I had no patience to level him up, so I just ignored him. And then, sure enough, in Radiant Dawn, oh yeah, Soth and Ike have this great relationship. I didn't know that. All right, so that's my thing. They could cut out some of the like lesser important conversations, obviously, but focus on the ones that'll tell the greater stories, and then by all these seasons, they're going to be telling these grand, grand epics, and it'll give it a fresh feeling. And I just feel like this could be something that could really, really work. Maybe I, now Netflix wouldn't do it. I mean,
I don't know. Like, I probably would say with Netflix because, like, the way you're describing it, it's kind of in the sense of what how they did with Castlevania in a
ooh, that's
sense.
true. They did allow Castlevania, didn't they?
And Castlevania had the past three seasons, including with this final fourth season, is like the way they've done and the presentation. They do have to not too shabby, to say the least. It's definitely one of the highest prop anime properties out there. So if they can really do something like something similar to like the Castlevania present anime, then yeah, like a Fire Emblem anime made from the studio who did the Castlevania series, then yeah, that would be something. I would definitely pay hard money for that one.
Yeah, and Castlevania was very good, but my problem with the Netflix would be that it if they did the 40-episode season, they would have to condense it, like what did they Pokemon Journeys, part one, part two, part three,
Okay,
part
okay,
four,
okay, okay, okay.
and I wouldn't want that. I would want this on a network that would allow it to do like what Pokemon did originally and like let it be there week after week after week. I just don't know if like what one maybe they did like a no Hulu doesn't do. Hulu does full binging, don't they?
Right. They would do the Animaniacs. Yeah, they always the full
That's true.
season. Yeah, the full
So
season, all
I
that.
guess it
Yeah.
would just depend. And obviously, this is just hypothetical, but I would want this to be experienced in full, either in one shot. I mean, as close to one shot as you can, or week after week after week, because this would be epic. And then you'd have to wait a year to get the next one, to get the next start of the game or the next game to be told. But it would be worth it. And then how many Fire Emblem games are there? A
There are a
lot.
lot. There
There's a
are a
lot.
lot.
A lot. All right. And by the time you do Fates and Three Houses, they'll have their rhythm down. They'll know what to work on, what to improve, and then they could do like the branching storylines. That would be really, really fun. So Fire Emblem is literally like the perfect franchise to go grand scale, super epic anime. Have the fun of it while also, whittling certain things down to make it, flow a little better. Because after a while, army on army fights, they're going to get boring.
Like yeah, if we have learned anything from Game of Thrones, it kind of has that moment. Like obviously, but I think the one thing that Fire Emblem has better over Game of Thrones is again with that it has a very good premise to say the least. With each of their titles, each of their things, of course, with Sigurd's death, all these great moments from Shadows of Valentia to Fates to Three Houses. Like we know that it has these great moments that can be easily fleshed out even more. And so like it could definitely learn from the mistakes from Game of Thrones. So I think like with the armies. Storyline with the whole medieval settings, like there's just always something about it that like having a clash of armies that's always so intriguing. But again, that's the appeal of the genre.
So, okay, I just think I know I have like a diehard love of Fire Emblem, but I truly feel that this is one where the potential is there to just rock it in a way that is very, very special. So we shall see how that goes. But that would be my pick for a long form anthology series, if you will. So, Will, what about you? What's the one that you feel could really work as a TV series?
Well, as we have like discussed this topic like prior in previous podcasts, like we definitely did mention regarding to like Splatoon. I always said that Splatoon could definitely easily be like a series in and by itself, like just how it presents itself, and of course with the third game, just like that universe could easily be described. But again, we have talked about I was talking about that how Splatoon could easily be an easy series. But for me, like another IP, Nintendo IP, that I feel it could definitely be expanded upon. Forgive me if I have talked about this before, but why not the Pikmin series? Because like even though it only has like roughly yeah two three games under its belt right now, like there's just a lot of lore I feel like they could definitely expand upon. And regarding to the whole Hakate and of course like Olimar and Louise and the other three captains, like there's definitely a lot of things I can feel like it can definitely expand upon. Like, what is the world of Hokusai? Do we ever will can we ever meet Olimar's family? Because we always see them like how in the first game he like being stuck upon and like the The like in other like shows and anime, you always have that like the whole Pokemon, that Pokemon of the day, that monster of the week, that Pokemon of the week, that whole formula they always done for many different shows. So like for me, like Pikmin kind of has that same feel, like it's reminiscent to old classic shows because like in with the whole biology of Pikmin, you always see like the different creatures, like the bull bags, the beady long legs, and like all these different creatures that always trying to eat the Pikmin while trying to like salvage the parts. It's there's so that's just that if you wanted to like talk in the scale of the first Pikmin game, and of course naturally there's also the second Pikmin game with being help your boss out of debt, which yeah, that could easily be another like a season or heck multi-season show there right there. And of course move on to Pikmin 3, it's just like even more further, like who can we explore more of the background of these three characters, and of course even perhaps even the origin of Pikmin, like how these Pikmin came to be, like even though you see these seeds, like what is the precursor of Pikmin, like who created this, is it something that was just naturally from evolution, or was it something more? It's like it from what we've learned from like other Nintendo IPs, like the Kirby right back at the shows, like we always hear about like yeah the Star Warriors army facing up against enemy and DDD and everything else in between. So I could feel like with Pikmin, it also has that sense of same feeling. I mean, there is no quote unquote grandiose big top enemy in the Pikmin world. It's just like again a survival story, like. I guess in a sense, in the way of Castaway, in a sense. So I'm just like throwing ideas out there, but it definitely has that sense. Like the world of Pikmin can be definitely much more explored if the shorts were anything that was any precursor. Because again, like Shigeru Miyamoto releases those three HD shorts on the Switch and on the Wii U and 3DS back in the day, and now on YouTube is just like. There's just so much things can be really explored upon. So, with the series of the Pikmin, and heck, even the Pikmin themselves could have like their own little mini adventures, like they did in the shorts. So, like the red Pikmin, the flying Pikmin, the rock Pikmin, like oh, what are you doing? Like, ah! Like all that. Like it's just, I can easily see some like very cute adventures that many people would enjoy. And of course, like I don't know, like have these different Pokemon and have Olimar and Louis. I don't know, perhaps even in explore Luis's dark mentality, that you see if he has a very dopey face, but that behind the dopey face lies the mind of an evil enemy, of an evil mad genius. If you played the third Pikmin game, you know what I mean. So, but yeah, like I feel that Pikmin can definitely be. Is definitely that one series that could be easily be fleshed out in a series. I mean, sure, it's not like, nothing in like in terms of, like with yours with a Fire Emblem. It's not like a whole great epic, but I feel like Pikmin it has that like, and I would say like it has that sense of a kid show, but as well it has that darker theme, so something similar to Pokemon. So that's what I feel like it could actually be expanded as a series. So for personally for me, I think the Pikmin series can be like that show that Nintendo be looking for. So something in a realm of Pokemon, but like to a lesser extent. So that's what I feel like.
Okay, I can see that. All right, my second pick. I actually there's two we could do. I'll say them
Oh,
both. First,
okay.
Star Fox.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Star
Yeah.
Fox, I feel, not only has the best a great chance of being a visually impressive animated series, especially because of like all we've seen with Gundam over the years,
Oh, yep. Oh, yep.
but it's one where you could very easily go off script in terms of the games and create your own storylines, because there are so many villains that we've seen in the Star Fox universe, not to mention the recurring battles with Team Star Wolf, that you could start off with the games and do like the origin story of Star Fox with, fighting Andross and avenging, Fox McCloud's dad, and everything. And then you go and, do your own unique storyline, then maybe do Star Fox 64, and then maybe bring in Crystal later on with Star Fox Adventures Rift, but a little bit better, and then Star Fox Assault, So, you know, there's a lot there that you can work with, and then because of the grand universe that technically hasn't been explored as much as you think, you have all this potential for this massive amount of storylines, and then you coming up with a clever, you know, aerial space fights would just be very visually stunning and so much fun that it the writing is like right there for you. And then
Yes.
Will, you mentioned, you know, a kids series. Well, if we're gonna do kids series, why not do an Animal Crossing show?
I mean, they have done like an Animal series, Animal Crossing series, actually back way back then. There actually was a legit Animal Crossing show.
Really?
Yes, it's on YouTube. You actually can see like, actually one villager actually go into a village that is populated and actually speak with Tom Nook and KKK Slider. So there has been actually a legit Animal Crossing show.
Okay, I am looking that up because I have not. If it was on YouTube, then that might have been why. But like, was it Nintendo official, or was it like, you know, the Pikmin shorts?
No, it's actually like legit 24 minutes episode. I think like an old like original video animation. So I think it's like a one shot, I think, but not as an entire series. I don't recall. I don't remember.
Okay, I'm not seeing anything. I mean, I think there's a fan TV show. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything, Will.
Like Animal Crossing movie, just with Whitney. No, like I'm pretty sure there was like a legit like one moment that actually was a show.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, Animal Crossing movie in 2006. It was Japan only.
The Japanese only
Yeah,
effect.
because it was Tebutsu no Mori. So, but yeah, like now that Animal Crossing has blown up into this massive thing, especially with New Horizons, now is the absolute perfect time to go and, you know, re go off of the games and make your own Animal Crossing series. And the best part is, not unlike, say, Fire Emblem, you don't have to have your own individual story per se with this. You could do very much like anthology stories of, you know, one story's about Isabelle, one's about KK Slider, one's about the new character who's trying to make a life for themselves. And so on and so forth, to where all you have to do is just put the place there, and you can still do traveling, you know, because we all know Tom Nook's gonna be, you know, scamming people from out of money and bells. So, you know, just jumping from spot to spot, having these little, you know, episodes, you know, kind of like a Disney Channel kids show, because like they had this show that my niece Adeline watches called Minnie's Boutique, and it's literally like 6 minute episodes. Of, you know, each with their own storyline, and I'm like, that's all you need to do is, or like a Teen Titans Go, you know, each one's like only like 11 minutes long. You have two stories per episode, and it just kind of, you know, brings to life all the Animal Crossing characters in a fun setting. It's simple, it's elegant, and kids will watch it because it's Animal Crossing. That's money. So you see, I can be broad of mind. I can give you grand action series, and I can give you ki children's television. You're welcome. That's why I'm the host. Ha ha ha. All right. Well, one last idea, Will. What do you got?
I'm just like looking down the list of it. It would be interesting to have this show. I mean, it's only one game, which sadly in the series, well, one main game and then a second 3DS game, but I was wondering how a Chibi Robo series would be. Like
Interesting.
there we did have like that one main game, basically this one little tiny robot helping out an entire family, and then they'll have that platformer that was on the 3DS that during that time. Because the reason I think of Chibi Robo is because like it's definitely that one underground. You don't really hear that much about it unless like you played it on the GameCube or the 3DS games. But its premise is like very similar to like current games I'm not sure you heard of it. It Takes Two. I'm not
Yeah,
sure you've heard of that thing.
I
Yeah.
literally just heard about it yesterday because Yahtzee reviewed it.
Yeah, like it kind of it brought me back of Chibi Robo. Helping out a family, helping out with like trying to resurrect this old ancient assist bot, but that has been abandoned for so many years. So I don't know, like having that development of that family, perhaps you can do like as a series, like maybe as a one of one season shot. But like I always think interesting how Chibi Robo, like this tiny little chibi robot, can help an entire family and like be it like even be with small tasks or heavy duty like issues, like with I don't know, with a lazy dad or like their children or that sort. So something of that sort, I feel like. So I guess that's what I think we're going to achieve with Robo. But another series that probably would be a very good one. I mean, I'm looking down the list, like very hard to think about. I mean, again, we talk about, of course, Legend of Zelda, that's obvious. Obviously. Metroid, obvious. Kid Icarus. Yeah, obviously. And I guess I'll probably like give this one to Tyler. I'll appeal to Tyler. Yeah, why not Earthbound? I feel like the Mother series is just prime for a good series of songs. Like, Earthbound 1, Earthbound 2, like, when we get Mother 3!
Yeah.
And, like, all these different storylines with their own characters. Like, I feel like, yeah, Earthbound is prime material for a show. Or a manga, or a light novel. Whatever it may be. I feel like Earthbound is so under explored. It's just like, Nintendo, what are you doing? Okay, you kept in Japan for so long. Why not release it to the world? You released the first two games. Where's Mother 3? That's been that meme going on for so long. And like, I don't know, maybe even make a cartoon out of it. We've seen like the Smash openings. We see on it. We see the stages. And we also seen, again, in those who actually played the game of it. So why not make it as a show? So like, could be from focus on different characters. It's all that. Yeah, like, that, it kind of reminds me of like a very old show of Dr. Slump that's created by Akira Toriyama. Like, yeah, all these different characters could be have their own spotlight episodes. Like, yeah, it is Earthbound. You want to focus on like Ness and Lucas. I mean, Lucas is definitely a great story to explore on its own. But like, you also see all these different characters. Like, yeah, they're prime for its own episode. Like, I mean, easy reminder like of early 90s shows that has that kind of like same that cute but also like a diverse cast that you can easily focus upon on each other. So yeah, Earthbound is easily a show that could easily run for multiple seasons, I feel like. So I mean, yes, I should play the game in my bucket list, but yeah, Earthbound is definitely a series that really that I feel Nintendo can definitely really sell out more. But again, I don't know what they're doing. So yeah, Earthbound is definitely a series to really, I feel it can actually do well as a TV show.
All right. Well, I'm sure Tyler will be giddy about that when he hears about this. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
His spirit is just there. But I don't speak spirit, so yeah, he's not here.
Yeah. I do, but you know, we're not on good terms right now. So we did not have a poll last week. We will try and have one this week. And the poll question, hopefully, will be, have you gotten new Pokemon Snap yet? Yes, no, we'll be getting it soon. Mm-hmm. And of course, let us know what you've thought of all the big news of the week, including what you thought of Pokemon, or sorry, new Pokemon Snap. What do you think about the Switch sales or the Star Wars sales and the explanations behind The World Ends With You, the Neo The World Ends With You delays? Are you surprised that Xbox is actually counting on Breath of the Wild 2 to come out last year? And are you looking forward to Pokemon Master Journeys? And of course, if you have an idea for a Nintendo animated series that you think could work in the long term, let us know. We'll discuss your topics or suggestions next week. So, for Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!